still about a minute till.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Sunday morning, Sunday scores. And I think I'm gonna start by asking Debbie to lead us in prayer.
Father, we do thank you for this day. Thankful for your presence in our lives, Lord. There are so many people who are lost and in darkness, actually, Lord. And Lord, we ask today that you enlighten people, engage people's hearts. Lord, there are things going on in the earth, and you're the one that is responsible. And Father, we just put everything in your hands.
Amen.
And we just thank you for what you're doing. Lord, bless Kathy as she brings the word today, and make our hearts receivers. And let your word grow there and bring forth fruit. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Debbie, I'm so glad that led right into what I was going to share. Just a couple of things, and then I'm going to open it up, and I want everybody to share. Somebody that I care a lot about their opinion, who's in this room right now, said the other day to me, you know, I'm getting sick and tired of these people that are always saying, well, we're in this world, but not of it. And that kind of stuck with me, because I remembered that there is a balance, isn't there? God doesn't want us to sit back in our heavenly spot, not of this world. You know, and because I remember back where I was reading in Psalms 82, and he said, and I'm not sure if that's exactly where that was, but he said, God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly? And there's another place where it says, how long will you let the world, you know, go off on this tangent? Because that shows me that it is within us to do something about it.
Yeah.
And that brings me to this, you know, we've been saying for so long, wow, something new is happening. We've been saying it before there was any discussion of anything new. And if there is a person alive in the United States of America today who can't say, wow, never has there been a day like this one. And I believe that God is doing a new thing in the earth today, but I think that it's something a little bit different than everybody is seeing darkness and evil. And because I've been getting these things lately, and I don't know if I was awake or asleep, and I don't know if it was God speaking to me or my own voice inside my head bringing something out to me. But it was Halloween yesterday, and I mean to tell you, I did not give one fig for Halloween. I didn't think of it, it was not on my mind. But when I woke up this morning, in that waking and sleeping period again, I felt so strongly this sight that I was seeing of the witches with the pointed hats and the warts on their nose, and they're stirring in their cauldron of evil, and they're stirring and they're stirring, and they're saying, bubble, bubble, toil and trouble. And the Lord brought to me that that's all darkness. That's all darkness. And then he brought to me the vision of right before creation. The world was in darkness. Before he started creating the world, it was all darkness. It says dark, here in Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning God created heaven and earth. And the earth was without form, and the world was and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. And just as all of this darkness and crud was going on, all of a sudden, out of that cauldron came this gigantic boom, and it was light. And it was just like God said in the beginning. God spoke, and he said, let there be light, and boom, there was light. And light has not stopped from that day till this. He really said, light be. He spoke it into existence. And light has been being ever since. And out of this giant burst of light, I kept hearing things saying to me and to everyone, light and darkness is all the same to me. He said, how long will you let these things be out of order? And he said, lots of things, a lot of them I don't remember. I, the Lord, remember that one thing where he says it twice, I have created evil and I am good. The Lord is one. He is in all things. And where we see something, we are not seeing as God sees. I see an awareness, whatever all this is, it is going to end with an awareness of our oneness. We are one. All mankind is one. We are one, and how are we one? We are one being in Christ, in God. All of those that we disagree with, all of those that we say, oh, evil, evil, evil. That's why I said today we're going to eat out of the tree of life. I don't want to eat anymore out of the tree of knowledge. I don't want to make a judgment on this is evil and this is good. It's very easy to do these days, you know, because there's so many things that appear evil. But God means all things for good. And God is God. And he always will be God. He's God in the fiery furnace, you know. He's God in the hearts of men. And just like the vision of Elohim that he showed me, we are one with Christ in God. Not just Christians, not just, you know, all mankind. And so that's what he showed me today. And I wanted to know what's going on with everybody else. What's God showing you today? It doesn't have to have anything with this. You can comment on what I've said. You can disagree mightily with what I said. I don't care. But God is good, and God is light, and God is in all things. That's all I know, because I'm not eating of the tree of knowledge. God is in us. God is in us, feeding us from the tree of life. It's all going to end in life, one way or another. Okay. I open up the floor.
Who can follow that?
Does it feel good to your spirit?
Pardon?
Does that feel good to your spirit?
Yeah.
It does. It witnessed with me.
It makes you think why at one time you didn't think about that.
Perspective is everything. What and it's all what tree are you choosing to eat? Adam and Eve had a choice, you know. They wanted to experience it, you know. They were told by the serpent, if you eat of this tree, you're going to know just like God knows. You know, you're going to know what he knows. And we did. They did. We did. We all did. But even that was in the plan of God, that we're going through life blindfolded, so that we can learn him and learn who we are in him by experience. we can't see it the way we saw it, but it will mean so much more when we experience the Godhead within us and on the outside of us. So, Debbie, I'm not saying that we are of, in the world, but not of the world. Because we are placed in this world on purpose. We have been blinded to the things of God on purpose so that we can learn the things of God by experiencing them. And it is up to us to set the world on course. But, you know, that big, I mean, we talk about it all the time. When the time is right, God is going to make it known to us who there's a day coming. The whole world is groaning, you know, wanting to see the manifestation of the sons of God. And Debbie, when you were praying before, you said, God, and it's all your responsibility. And it is. He's going to bring it to pass. We should have no anxiety. We should have no anxiety. Come on, Brenda. Somebody talk. I'll just go on forever.
Well, this reminds me of that story that Oscar has told several times about people saying, oh, that's bad, oh, that's good when things happen. It's like, how do you know? Until you see the end result, how do you know? How, you can't see into the future. You can't see things that happen in between. You can't see the changes made in people. You know, they can be redeemed along that road somehow. And I've said this before about the love of God. We don't really grasp it, I don't think. You know, in our natural man, we can look at things that happen and say, oh my God, you know, it's horrible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, put that on people. But God loves everybody. And the word says that in the end, all will bow their knee and be redeemed. So if we put our judgments on things, it's a judgment that's in time. It's not eternal. Because we can't see the end of all this.
I think we have to look at each and every day, because we're walking this out. So each day when we get up, I think of when Mark shared, I always think of that. I choose joy, and I think of that when you wake up. Because the day before, whatever happened that night, what all, then you're starting off anew. But you still got things that you're facing each day. And burdens that you bear that you should not be, because that's me. That's why I look at my family and all. And God had to tell me over, and is still telling me, you're not their salvation. I am. Mm. So I think each day, starting off in Him and looking to Him and wanting His perspective and all that you're viewing and all that's happening, not just to you, but those you know and the world. I look at our city. I'm living in Springfield, but Savannah is still my city. And I just look at the people I see in the store, the people I meet, doctor's office, wherever, and I think, I just look at things that we've learned from one another, that's been shared, that's been experienced by them, that we partake of also, like when Jim was sharing about loved one in front of you. And I desire to do that. And every day, everyone that I meet, and everyone, and I just thank God for the preciousness that I have with my husband and my family. I meet the lady that I care for. She's 97. We pray together every day, and it's just precious how God leads you. And like you say, you can look, and it's not things could look as bad per se. But they're not, because you don't know where it's leading to. You don't know the end in the end and what God is actually doing in that situation or that experience.
And that can be one-on-one, or it could be the whole universe. He is doing something in that situation.
And what we're facing now, we never look at This woman's 97. Never dreamed that all this is going on now with the COVID, with the presidential and all the just cool things being said and all. Mm-hmm. And she just said she never thought she would live to be seeing something like this, you know, going on. Mm-hmm. And that. And but
this great love that I saw explode out of that cauldron, I can't even explain it. Great love. And doesn't it say in the that, you know, they're waiting to see, people are on tippy toes waiting to see
the manifestation. Which is Christ.
Yes.
And, which is Christ.
And this love has, will be, I saw it, it will, all of this is bringing about the finally, the realization of who we are and how great our love is for each other and not, you know, that we can't judge. Anybody else?
You know, we used to sing a song, Heaven Came Down, the Glory Filled My Soul.
Yes.
And I don't know if we can have, I believe that we can have the mind of Christ. It says that we can, and it says that we do. Mm-hmm. And so it's not strange when I think of things that the Lord has showed me and look at them, and look at them different than I've ever looked at them in my life. I remember going down Princeton Road toward Mark and Joey's house from up here off of 747, and somebody in the yard had a little sign that says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." And that stuck with me from the moment I seen it, because I believe the heavens is right here.
Yes, yes.
And what is our purpose on earth but to declare the glory of God? By declaring is we breathe. We're not necessarily with our mouth, but with the air that we breathe. It said, let everything that, you know, lived praise the Lord. You know, Uncle Paul used to say that all the time. Matter of fact, I believe he's still saying it in a greater volume. I mean, our lives should be penetrated. But if you don't mind, I want to read two Psalms. Psalm 19, it said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, the night into night showeth knowledge. There is no speech, this is very important that we understand this, nor language where their voice is not heard. You know, the scripture says his word won't be returned void. We don't have to worry about what language it's being spoken in. And a lot of times, you know, we don't know the words, but we also should always trust the Lord. It said, their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, a place of fellowship, which is as a bridegroom cometh out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Yes. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the temple.
The simple.
The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, much more than fine gold, sweeter than also than the honey and honeycomb. Moreover, by them they serve, are the servant warned, and in the keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptions of sin. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now, I read that, and everybody knows, I told Debbie the other day, everybody knows the 23rd Psalm. I mean, if you've been in church at all, everybody knows the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But I didn't really realize what the 24th Psalm was. But when I read it, and it's shorter than, almost as short as that. The 24th Psalm says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof.
Yes, Jesus.
The world and they that dwell in." Hello. Mm-hmm. Hello. We're talking about all of us.
Yes.
We're talking about beyond these walls, everyone. Mm-hmm. It's the Lord's. "For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and the righteousness from God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him. They seek thy face, O Jacob, Shalom. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts.
Yes.
He is the King of glory. I was reading that because I heard a guy on, and I listened to programs early in the morning. I heard a guy say about, you know, the gates and stuff like that, and we've been taught and we read and we know the word. We're the gates. Mm-hmm. And it says that, you know, they no longer have gates. We're all a gate. And this is the praise. Lift up your head. Lift up your hands, you know. I mean, a lot of people can't get past "be holy for I am holy." Mm-hmm. Well, if he's holy and he said be holy, I can get with that. I can do that. Why? Because it's not me.
It's him.
In the beloved, in him, we are all accepted. Mm-hmm. And that means all out here. And so I really don't look at people the way I used to look at them, but I see them as people that are just on the edge of knowing Jesus. And I want to tell you something. We might be the instrument or the tool, not to cut them, but to show them. He is God, and he ruled. And you know what? I think it's probably our job, one of our jobs, many of them, that we show mercy toward people.
Yes.
Especially mercy when they don't feel like they deserve it. Because that would be the same mercy we all got.
Mm-hmm.
None of us deserved it, or it wouldn't be mercy. Mercy is getting something that you don't deserve. And Jesus gave it to every one of us. We didn't deserve him going to Calvary, but he said it pleased the Father that he did. And what did God say to Jesus? "This is my beloved Son," or about him, "in whom I'm well pleased." That's how important mercy is. I mean, think about your own lives, about loved ones and stuff like that. Right in the hand of God. I put the one that don't know him right in his hands, just like I do the ones that know him. Nothing shall pluck you out. God's God. He's able to do a lot of things that we act like he needs our help. That's funny. He don't need my help. But anyway, maybe I said too much.
No way. No way. That's what this class is today. God promised me that we would get a lot of feedback. You can ask my husband what song I've been singing for the last, all night, last night. I don't know, he's not a big music guy, but I've been just humming and singing just what you said. His mercies are new every morning. I came in here and out on the side and said, "Great is God's faithfulness."
Amen.
I've been singing, "Great is his faithfulness."
Yes.
Morning by morning, new mercies I see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no reason for anxiety. That's the one thing that God, that I have to work on. I find that in myself. And getting rid of anxiety is, to me, a true spiritual task. Cast your cares on him. It's a day by day, every day.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta settle myself. This day, his mercies are new. This day, I will do, Father, help me do what I see you tell me to do. What you say, I will do. And that's all I have to do that day, is what he tells me to do that day. I don't have to worry about the world getting saved. Christ in me will take care of that. Christ. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Pastor, you got anything?
Well, the only thing I was thinking about is when we first started offering you, when you said that scripture that we're in this world, but we're not of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the scripture that came to me immediately was Romans the 12th chapter. Mm-hmm. And verse 2, and he says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed mm-hmm. by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God." Now, what I think, if you look at those words there, "be not conformed," it's saying don't be made into the image of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I know from past experiences as being a young Christian, walking with the Lord, that people will try to drag you down into the way the world thinks.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not careful, you find yourself slipping over into that,
mm-hmm.
you know. And, you know, we have to remember that what we're supposed to do is, finally, brother, whatsoever things are good,
mm-hmm.
if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, if there, you know, and it's all about good things, not bad things. And, you know, we should be conveyors of good things,
mm-hmm.
not bad things. And the world out there will drag you into the negative thinking if you let them drag you into the negative thinking. And what we need to do is, when we find those negative thoughts coming up in us, we need to be not conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We need to say, "Now, Lord, you know, where are these thoughts coming from? Where are these things coming from? Are these of you? Would you be saying these things? Would you be doing these things?" And if he wouldn't, then we need to tell ourselves, "I'm not going to do those things either." You know what I mean? And that doesn't mean that we won't sometimes slip and fall into things, because, you know, that poem I wrote years ago, I used to work with a guy, and I've probably told this story before, but I used to work with a guy, and he was the top paid guy on the line where I worked. And after I worked there for a short period of time, and they saw that I was pretty skilled, I became the top paid guy on that line too. Me and him made the same money. Other guys who had been there 25, 30 years didn't make the same money that we did. And I'd only been there not even a year, and I was making more money than people that had been there 25 years. But it was because I was very good at what I did, you know, and I'm not just saying that, but the guy who did it before me, it would take him 30 minutes to do what I did in 5 minutes. So the company was making a lot of money out of me, you know, so naturally they didn't want me to. I had gotten laid off from another company, and they kept coming by and saying, "Well, has Milcron contacted you yet?" And they keep saying that to me because they didn't want me to leave, you know, because I was making them a lot of money, and they realized that. But, you know, I had a guy in the plant before I came up to making the top money who had been there 25 years. He'd come by and he'd say, you know, he'd say, "It's not right." He said, "You do a lot of work and stuff. You should be making more money. You should be." And he had went and he had talked to somebody in the office, and they had told him what they were paying me, you know. And that's a bad thing for people to do that. But he had told them what they were paying me. I wasn't making top money, you know. Well, he said, "It ain't right. It ain't right," you know. Now, if I had let him influence me as a young Christian, I would have said, "Well, you know, you're right. I'm doing a lot more work than a lot of these other guys are doing, so I should be paying more money, so I'm going to quit and find me another job." And that was his motivation.
Mm-hmm.
But God let me see through his motivation.
Mm-hmm.
See, even back then, he gave me discernment. Well, that very same guy, when I was making the top money and he wasn't, came by and told me, "It's not right. It's not right. I've been here 25 years and you're making more money than I am." See, so it flipped the other way. But, you know, the other guy who was the top paid guy, he would stop me once in a while when I was coming down the aisle or something, and he'd say, "You know, so and so, well, they're in the bathroom all the time. They're not doing their job. They're not doing this. They're not doing that." And what you'd find if you weren't careful, it was true what he was saying, but that had nothing to do with me. That was not my business. My business was to do my job, do it as unto the Lord, do it as good as I could, and try to bring glory and honor to him. You know what I mean? That was my job. But if I had let them, they would have drugged me right into that. And occasionally I'd find myself saying, well, you know, you're right. That guy is screwing around a lot. You know, but then the Lord gave me this poem, and he said, and it goes like this. It seems a man is ever talking about himself. He talks about his good deeds, and he talks about his wealth. He talks about the wonderful things that he has said and done, but he talks about his neighbor with words I hear will shine. It seems that man can see the fault in everyone around, but he can't see his own reflection. It's nowhere to be found. Oh, that God would open our eyes, that we might truly see that we're no better than our neighbor, whoever our neighbor might be, and help us learn to look at ourselves before we judge any other, and know that in the eyes of God, that one is even our brother. And we need to, and the Lord would bring that poem back to me every time I find myself starting to go negative. But the world will suck you into that. We're in this world, but we're not of it. And that means we shouldn't be made into the image of this world. Don't allow the world to suck you down into the pit, because they'll suck you right down there if you fall into all of the negativity that's out there, because there's a lot of it. We're supposed to be positive. We're supposed to think on whatsoever things are good, if there be any praise, if there be any virtue. Mm-hmm. We're supposed, that's how we get our mind renewed, because we quit going in the negative roots and start thinking in the positive roots. And we ask the Lord, Lord, help me to cast out all negative thoughts that are not of you. Mm-hmm. And we'll find, I think, if we do that, that we will be transformed. We will be changed. Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, and You know, there's a lot of that going on today. It's very negative out there, very, very negative. And you can find yourself falling right into that. That's why I've said, even, and I'll say this, and I don't like to talk too much politically, but I will say this. You're not a Democrat. You're not a Republican. You're a Christian. Okay? You might vote democratically. You might vote Republican. That's okay. That's not who you are. You are a Christian. You are a son of the living God. Amen. And when we find ourselves falling into the pattern of the world, what the world's doing out there, we need to step back and say, oh God, cleanse my mind. Yes. Because I don't need to be saying these things and doing these things, because that's really not of you.
That's right.
And I mean, you know, If you look at Jesus, who did Jesus correct all the time? Did he correct the people out in the world all the time? No, he corrected the Christians at that time, or the Jewish, the religious folks. That's who he got on. And I think sometimes if what we need to say to the Lord is, Lord, please forgive me for saying things that are really not of you. And I know they're not of you, because you tell me to think thoughts that are pure and lovely, and if there be any praise, there be any virtue, and all that kind of stuff. And we all fall short of that at times. And I'm not saying that we're perfect yet. We're perfect as far as he's concerned, but not perfect in ourselves. But when we see that self-life cropping up, we need to recognize it for what it is. And you know, if we find ourselves getting super, super negative, and then we're going to turn around and talk to people about the love of God and the mercy of God and the forgiveness of God, and then we're not giving love, mercy, and forgiveness to other people, then what do we do? How does that work? Does that fall into the, and I'm going to put it out to you bluntly, does that fall into the realm of Adam? What the name Adam means? Hypocrite, man of low degree, all those things. I think it does. Sometimes if we're not careful, we're walking in Adam instead of walking in the Lord. Amen. And we need to ask the Lord to help us not walk in Adam. You know, we're to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, and dead unto that nature, and alive unto the nature of God.
I think that statement right there is exactly what God, through all that's going on, is showing us how to do. Because we all fight that. And the only way we can get out of it is to pull ourselves back in. But I think God is going to show us something even greater that's going to bring about, see how they love one another. He's going to make it possible for us to do that. I think a lot of us try as hard as we can, but we're, you know, but I think there's something coming where, ta-da, the door is, you know, he's going to set that feast before us and we're going to eat it.
Kathy, I believe that we always have an open door. Mm-hmm. And we're put on display for God's purpose. Mm-hmm. And the things we have to do, or we get to do, I like to get to, is we get to do Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We are an example of God on the face of the earth. Who are you going to trust? Because people, the world is watching, who do you depend upon? I mean, forget your mouth. Just watch your walk. Just watch your walk. They're going like this. We'll see what they walk now. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on, you fall down. You get up if you can. But when you get up, they're watching to see how you walk from that time you fell down. Too many of us say, lo, it's me, I've hurt myself, when we ought to be acknowledging the fact we fell down in him, we're getting up in him. We need to realize who our strength comes from. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. All thy heart means all of it. And lean not into thy own understanding. If you quit leaning into your understanding, a lot of this trouble you won't even notice. But in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. I've had a few drops, not many, but a few. But every one of them, at layoff time, I took, that was God moving me to a different place. And every time I went somewhere else, I got an increase in pay. And it was better for my family. But the greatest thing God wanted to know, you got a new bunch of people you can witness to. Who are going to watch your walk. I had people challenge me over the years and said, you know, there's something about you. And I invited judgment. I said, well, judge me for a couple of weeks. And if there's anything in that you see that you realize, tell me. And I said, I'll repent. We're held before God, which is a greater thing than man. The heaven and earth, the creator of heaven and earth, is how we walk. We ought to walk depending upon him. You know, I don't get pushed around a lot because I'm looking for him to do the pushing. But you know what? There's a hedge around us. There's an open door policy. We have an open door with God through Jesus. We have an open door. I'm not sure if we actually know what that, you know, people understand what that means. We got the direct source, not just an advocate. I mean, he is an advocate, but there's more than that. We get to walk in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the creator of heaven and earth. And you know what? And not be ashamed. Not be ashamed. My whole thing is that we bring not shame, but we bring honor to him. You know, and I know that if we're puffed up, if we're arrogant, I mean, the words that the Lord used with me, he goes like this, what's that? You know, he realizes it's the flesh.
He'll stick a pin in
it. Yeah, I mean, he realizes it's in the flesh.
Let some of it out.
But I mean, you know, the thing is when are we going to realize and say it, not just because it's words, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. And really, really, really know that he's going like it. This is, I like that. You know, God's going to bless what he likes. And I'm just kind of waiting for more people to fall in love with his word. His word is the hope that endureth forever. It's a thing that lighteth every man and every woman on the face of the earth. He's waiting for them to grab hold of that so he can go, oh, there, this is good. You know, he's waiting to say, this is good. Like, you know, like Debbie was saying about last year, saying that story. That story went about the guy's grandson who'd gotten hurt. Mm-hmm. Then they came to get all the young men to take them off the battle, right?
Right.
And he couldn't go. Well, that's good. That's good. Now just think of that in the spiritual sense. God brings something to you, and you go, oh, I'm going to grab that. And he goes like this, I didn't bring it to you to grab. I brought it to you so things would be settled. And that's what his word does. It settles our emotions. It puts them on the right level where they should be. You know, they should be under the hand of God. I mean, not getting tossed to and fro with every doctor. You know, I remember when I was a kid growing up, I'd see people, man, get under the shadow of the Almighty by having that Shekinah glory in the room, and I'd be afraid to stand up. But I also been in the men's prayer meeting and felt the same thing, which most of us was on the ground anyway, sitting there on our knees. And I tell you what, that's a good place to be. You ever been shut in with God in the secret place? Mine was a closet. I made a prayer closet at the house. And I told Mom, I said, I'm going in there. And she goes like this. And I said, no phone calls. Because when you're shut in with God in that secret place, you go, oh, his presence is so good. Because that's where you get the relationship. That's where you get your confidence. Confidence in him. He always shows up. He's always show up.
It doesn't always just happen when you're shut in. I've many times sat with this lady and we'd be talking. And the presence of God would just, and we go into prayer. I used to do it with Sue Olden too. We'd just be talking and visiting. Mm-hmm. But we would be talking about him or talking about, and his presence would just cover us, and then he began to speak and just show us about someone, ourselves, or something, you know, that I believe we have a great responsibility to be the salt of the earth, as he has said we are, that people should look upon us and we should create a hunger in them. Mm-hmm. Have what we have, which is in him. It's not us. It's him in us. And that we have a great responsibility before him and before all those that we come in contact with.
Well, you know what? We got the word, and the word says in him there's the fullness of joy.
Yes.
Anyone in here love to have the fullness of joy? Yes. I mean, that, what an overwhelming thing, the fullness of joy. You know, they're going to fall on your right and fall on your left, mm-hmm. but you still have fullness of joy. God's in control.
It will not come nigh thee. Anybody else? Mike, you have anything at all you'd like to say?
Yeah. You started this out with the word darkness, and I don't think this is a time of darkness. I think this is a time of confusion. And I think the world is right now trying to challenge Christians' beliefs, whether God is in control or not. You know, I say to her all the time, you turn on the news and they have four commentators and they're all screaming at each other at the same time. And what happens? Your brain gets overloaded. And you don't hear anything of substance. All you hear is confusion. And I believe that God is allowing Christians to go through this time to get back in line and to believe and have faith that he is in control of everything. That this whole thing is in his hands, and he's moving and flowing through it right now, and whatever the outcome is going to be, is going to be for the good of the world. And I believe he's going to have people coming to him out of the woodwork after this thing is all over and done with. That they're going to be able to see that God put this virus here. That all this stuff that's going on in the world is all going to start to unite people. And I believe that with all my heart, that God is totally in control of all this. But the confusion of it, the new challenges that we face every day, like you said, every day I get up and I go, oh boy, I have a new day with, you know, God's mercies are new every day. But every day we wake up with new challenges because the confusion changes from day to day. And it's time for Christians to stand up and say, look, God's in control of this. Your will be done in whatever's going on. And get out of the way and put your faith back in the Lord and put your trust totally back in the Lord. And forget all the other stuff. Quit playing the game. Because that's what they want you to do. They want you to play the game. I don't want to play the game. I want to rely on what I know is true. People are searching for truth. They're not searching they're trying to find the truth, that God is in, even Christians are questioning their beliefs. Is God really in control of this? I really believe that. But I don't question it. I know he's in control. And that's what I want. I want to know that he's in control.
Yeah. Buddy.
I'm just reading Proverbs here. And Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, from out of it will flow the springs of life.
Amen.
And from all this COVID-19, all this, that's just for a little while. Mm-hmm. From that springs life. And then it says, put away from you false and dishonest speech and willful and contrary talk. Put far from you, that your eyes look right on with fixed purpose, and let your gaze be straight before you. Consider well the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established and ordered aright. Turn not aside to the right hand or to the left, and move your feet from evil. And all this is, you know, this wisdom. Godly wisdom.
Amen.
You know how God tells us it's impossible to serve two masters? Don't you think we ought to come to agreement we're only going to serve one?
Amen.
And you can't serve two, because if you try to serve two, I mean, you're either going to, how is it?
Despise the one or despise the other.
Well, what happens to you is you become two-faced.
A double-minded man.
What's it say about a double-minded man? Unstable in all his ways.
What did he say?
A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, don't watch me walk out of here.
You know, it's like this. It's double-minded is similar to having double vision. You can't see what reality is. You'll see two things instead of one, and you don't know which is the real and which is not the real. So if you walk toward this table and you see two tables, you see one over there, one here, that aren't, and there's only one table here, and you go toward the wrong one, guess what? Thinking it's not the right, it's not there, you're going to fall over it, you know.
Yes.
And that's sort of the way the double-minded man, and, you know, being unstable, because you can't be caught between two opinions, you know, so to speak. You know, if you are, there's a scripture that says, how can two walk together unless they be in agreement? You can't, you know, and we have to be in agreement with what the Lord says and not what everything else says, you know. Because if we listen to everything else, then we're gonna have that double-mindedness.
Amen.
It's dipsukos is what it is, double-souled.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're trying to be married to two guys at the same time. That don't work.
No way. Talk about the double vision. Now, I don't know this from personal experience, but I've heard that if you're driving home drunk, you can't tell which is the real road. You've got to hold one eye shut and drive with the other one. So you can at least see which one is ahead.
Oh, Lord. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Who wants to close? Talking about double vision. What about politics today on the TV? You hear this one saying this thing, this one saying this thing, somebody else saying another thing. So, I mean.
That's what I was talking about. Well,
that's it. They're trying to create double vision, too. Yeah. Exactly what they're trying to do, all of them.
And so much of it, to me, I don't know. I believe it's a bunch of lies, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to show them how bad he is. I'll be glad it was all over myself.
Oh, yeah. This has been an ugly time.
Well, you know, the Lord's going to he wants to
God's going to explode love right around
the. Yeah.
Oscar, will you close in?
Sure. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together. We thank you for your words, for truly they are spirit and life. I thank you for even the opportunity to hear the brothers and sisters just say the things that's on their heart and how you're dealing with each one of them. And Father, you kept bringing that song to me about that we used to sing as a kid. It's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And you know, that's where we're all at. We need prayer that God have his way in our life. And Father, we just ask you to have your way, because we know your ways are the ways of life.
Yes.
And any other way is the wrong way. So I just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.